windscreen wipers, and the abstract shapes of rain on glass. Bit players lying, denying all knowledge of the man I was after. Through it all, the orchestral swell of my music, a purposeful yet melancholy jazz. And in the end, nothing to show for it. All I had was a name. A name that closed doors and emptied bars. A name that, spoken aloud, invoked sewn shut lips, pulled down shades, drink up and get out looks, hastily remembered appointments and muttered warnings. Just a name. Truro Dane. Back in the world, the name of Truro Dane had plenty of associations. Murderer, arsonist, dope peddler, pornographer, blackmailer, flamboyant thief, and a lot of other things, all unhealthy. Now, he was the last of the escaped convicts. My clients wanted him found and dragged back to his prison of permanent steel and perishable flesh. Sounds simple, huh? There was a catch. The prince of catches. It would floor Dempsey in the first round, keep John Wayne off the beaches of Iwo Jima. The city belonged to Dane. Not just the mayor and the cops and the courts, the city. Every rain-washed alley, Art Nouveau penthouse, backstreet gin joint, and deserted warehouse was his personal property. Out there in formless dark, where the sidewalk ends, Truro Dane was waiting, a coal-eyed panther in the asphalt jungle. I cupped a palm around the dying end of my smoke, snatching the warmth while it was there. I couldn't taste tobacco anymore. Taste was just one of the senses that had started to let me down. Earlier, the rain had been heavy, a constant sheet that soaked through my hat and coat, trickling down the back of my neck. Now it was a fine drizzle, almost invisible, pricking my exposed hand. For some stupid reason, I didn't have gloves. My hand looked white and dead in the lamplight, smudged only from constant smoking, and felt like a shriveled skin glove on my aching finger bones. A newspaper, folded headline out, slid past in the gutter. It was the Inquirer. G-Man bust Axis spy ring. Veit Sanders Zuko indicted. Untrustworthy faces peered out from mugshots. Yesterday's news. A train shrieked overhead, lights raking the street. It was on schedule, spotlighting rickety fire escapes. In one of the apartments, Edward G. Robinson was strangling a girl. The passing train pixelated the murder. The girl was obviously a cheap floozy. Joan Bennett? She bent backwards out of the window, unable to do more than kick and gurgle. Edward G. was twisting a string of pearls into her throat. The girl lashed out with the last of her strength, knocking over a lamp. A bare wall whitened behind struggling silhouettes. The train clickety-clicked on, empty as always. The string broke and pearls showered past the L, shining like freshly pulled teeth. Edward G. scrambled over the corpse and squeezed onto the fire escape. Rain streamed over his horror-struck, flabby face. His music swelled, faintly audible from the street. He crawled into the clattering cobweb of iron ladders and landings, descending with monkey-like agility. Dropping the last 10 feet, he landed across the alley from me. He was without an overcoat and hat, and his disarrayed suit instantly two-toned with the cascade that fell from the shaking fire escape. He looked at me, panic shivering his jowls. I looked at him. My cigarette went out, and I threw it dead into the water. Edward G. turned and vanished into the night. 2 flights up, the rain was falling into the open eyes of the dead girl. Death. It's never pretty. Except for Greta Garbo, luminous with consumption.